often told by Zen students who had a sort of experience of enlightenment, particularly in the beginning of the practicing Zen Buddhism. I was very often by beginners students about their experience. There is one thing they always mentioned is that they feel pretty good because they say that everything turns out anew and shining. So when you see the world, trees, birds, whatever, when you see the world, everything turns out anew and shining, which is completely different from before. Before that experience, they were very difficult to accept the world and themselves, and felt always ugly and miserable. But after this experience, I think everything completely turned at 180 degrees, and they feel good. So this is very common experience for beginners. Or even though you don't have this kind of experience, but more or less everyone has. Okay. I think the essential nature of the mind is characterized by two points. One is being tranquil. Second is being preactive. So mind possesses two aspects, tranquility and activities. So in terms of tranquil aspect of the mind, your mind accepts your object means that everything is reflected in your mind, producing a certain form. According to this chapter, I think you producing the painting. Is that clear? If something comes into your mind which is serene and quiet and still, as a mirror. Then it's produced, the tranquil aspect of the mind produce forms, so called forms, or produce painting or reflection, we say. Reflection. Anyway, according to this chapter, maybe let's use painting. So if you paint things in your mirror, you can see immediately something fixed, it becomes still. So the form, in other words, form which you can see through the six senses is something happens in the realm of a tranquil aspect of a consciousness. Okay? On the other hand, mind is characterized by being active. Activity of a mind originally has great capability to cause paintings, the paintings to pass, the paintings to freedom. In other words, paintings produced by the tranquil aspect of the consciousness cannot stay with its own form for long because it's active. So many things are reflected simultaneously, it's gone. They are gone. But it's not exactly disappeared. It's there, but it's gone. So that's pretty difficult to explain, but this is exactly experience. Okay, experience. Everyone experiences like that. So, according to the very active aspect of consciousness, empirically, your mind becomes very sensitive for colors, for sounds, or even the slightest sound of a needle falling to the ground, you know, you can hear. Just like a guitar string, if you touch it, it's vibrate. So your consciousness becomes very sensitive because it is active. But when you active, when your mind is active, very naturally it is tranquil. Without tranquility, but you cannot see the mind being active. So activity and tranquility come together and work together. This is a total picture, essential nature of the human consciousness. So you cannot separate each other. You don't know which is which. The other whole you experience, shining. That's it. Shine. Because form reflected in your form painted in your mirror is not usual painting. It's not usual form you can see objectively through the naked eyes. Okay? Because immediately disappears. You know, not disappear. Immediately forms reflected in the mirror pass quickly themselves to freedom. So they become tranquil and pure and clear. Very clear. That's why shine. It's shine. But form never disappears. It's there, but that is called emancipation, we say. Emancipation is not disappear, not appear. It's pretty hard to say. And freedom. Freedom is not to destroy your subjectivity, but not egoistic. Real subjectivity is there, but no form of subjectivity in the usual sense. So at that time, real meaning of subjectivity is a form, but it has a form, but it's not usual form. It's emancipated, liberated from the form. That's why that subjectivity becomes very clear and pure, transparent. And then, empirically speaking, we say shining or bright. Okay? Just like a snow. You know, snow in the sun, immediately, snow is completely white, you know, and kind of transparent. And then the snow is in the sun in the reflect. So your mind, the more you, the clearer and purer, the more pure the mind is in the samadhi, in zazen, I think you can see clearly, the more clearly, and you can see the beautiful form, which is quite different from form you can experience in the everyday life. So it's quite nice, beautiful form there. Okay. Because I was emancipated, liberated from the form. Do you understand? It kind of, form here, and then immediate form pass through the filters and go up another side, and that is at a moment it's always going like this. See, that's why the immediate form is things are reflected in your mirror and then pass through the filters, comes up. And so that form is really transparent and clear and clean, and that's why it's shine when a total dynamic activity of the world, then it starts shining bright. So that's what we say. We say everything turns out anew, completely new, and also shine. Okay? So, yesterday I mentioned that essentially the nature, original nature of existence is nothing but activity. Okay? In terms of philosophy, we use the technical term, the universe, the structure of the universe is consists of time and space. We can say so. But strictly speaking, what is the time and space? So beyond the terminology, finally, there is only one thing left, you know, behind the term, ideas, it's that is just activity. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions in the Shobo Genzo, time is just arising only. Okay. Arising only means activities. So activity creates certain form. So that activity is really tranquil, very tranquil. Just like a diamond, okay? Diamond. Diamond molecules, myriad molecules of diamond oscillated at the super speed and then create, you know, a form, producing a form which is hardest entity. So, there are many kinds of forms, soft, hard, you know. It depends on the oscillation of molecules. So, the molecules in the universe, many molecules, we say in Buddhism, conditioned elements, okay? Conditioned factors. This is kind of molecules, and you can say, but it's not exactly molecules, but if you use another word, it's kind of molecules. So many kinds of myriad conditions, elements in the space of the universe, and then all come together and moving, okay, oscillate at each other. Then we create a form. So it's very interesting. You can understand in terms of physics in the mall in our days. So, I think this is the individual, essential nature of an individual mind. But this mind, individual mind, is not only individual, but also if this mind is extended, spread, every inch of the universe, everything becomes mind. Because original nature of existence is consisting of two aspects, stillness and dynamism, activities. That is the original nature of existence. So if your mind is extended, okay, to all 10 directions of the universe, and then you can see the same mind as you have in everywhere. The birds and trees and airs, winters, visibly, invisibly, okay? And then Buddhism says the world is mind only. This is called one mind, we say. Okay? Is that all right? We call one mind. But one mind is not the usual sense of the mind. It is exactly what the exact bigger scale of the mind extended, you know, letting the individual mind extend it to every direction of the universe, and then it becomes a big mind. That is called one mind. So that one mind can be found on the table and trees, birds, etc. Okay? So that's why in the same way as you experience in the Zazen, you can see the form reflected in your mirror, in other words, and then those forms pass and themselves to freedom. That's why forms reflected in the mirror start to shine, because it's transparent and etc. Okay, very clear. So if you see everything, I think you can see, if you see the everything in the world with wisdom, okay, with wisdom, in other words, same capability what you have experienced through Zazen, okay, temporarily we say wisdom. Capability you have demonstrated, okay, through the Zazen, then you can see the same things in the tree and in water, in the creek, etc. So very naturally, tree is not tree, usual tree, separate from you. So everything becomes very close to you, because you can see, you can discover the same mind as you have in Zazen. So everything becomes very come up to you naturally. But before that, we try to go up to the trees, and in other words, empathy. We say empathy. Produce project, you know. We try to project ourselves to the object. This is a delusion, and the Dogen Zenji mentions in Shobo Genzo. But delusion is not something wrong, he mentions, okay? Don't misunderstand. That delusion is part of human beings. You have to understand it, okay? Because you cannot ignore the delusion. You cannot ignore that this activity, initiative activity, moving toward the object, the trees, birds, nature, you know. And then if you really do that, then delusion turns into enlightenment. In other words, the trees comes close to you naturally, That is, I mentioned some often, these trees start to speak to you. Birds start to speak to you. And St. Francis, you know, speaks with the birds, the nature. That's natural. Naturally happens. So at that time, everything becomes very close, very close. It's not something different. At that time, you can see the huge dynamical world, okay? That dynamical activity there, that is called Buddha, we say. It's called Buddha. Because it's not just something you can see through the naked eyes, and it is something more than activity, more than the usual sense of activity. It's more than the usual sense of stillness, because it's total activity, supporting everything, you know. So that is we call Buddha, you know. Or, plainly speaking, it is called truth. Or according to the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra, that is called thusness or suchness. Thusness and suchness is very vague. But it is. Thusness, suchness means what is just is. Okay? Beyond activity, active aspect, or tranquil aspect. We don't know which is which. But both work together and could produce something. But something is mystical, but it's not mystical because you can experience through meditation and zazen everyday life. That's why it seems to be mystical if you start to think, okay? But practically, it's real. Something real. No mystical. But people are really crazy about something mystical.
Mystical.
That's why mysticism carries you away from everyday life. So religion, if most people believe religion is what? Producing a mystical mysticism. It's fun, but it's pretty dangerous. So, okay. Is all right. It is your mind is not your mind. That is the universal mind, all right, simultaneously. So, and then let's read this one. It's very interesting. Okay. I think now if you want to know clearly your life and your object in the human world deeply, first of all, you have to take action initiatively toward your object, okay? With sincerity, with the true heart, okay? And then, naturally, your object comes close to you initiatively. Instead of you try, okay? I don't mean you always, hey boy, come here. I don't mean this one, okay? Simultaneously, it's total communication there, okay? There is no arrogance there, human arrogance there. It's total communication. We call kannodoko, religious spiritual communion. Communion between you and Buddha. Okay? Buddha. So, let's see at the one by one. This is very interesting. My later master, that is Nyojo, the master said, said, a tall bamboo and a plantain appear in a painting. Okay? This is a message, his message. And then he commented, Dogen Zenji commented on this. This phrase means that things beyond the measure, are actualized together in a painting. Okay? Painting means beyond the measure means no beyond the technique or beyond your ideas and beyond your initiative action toward that, beyond everything. Okay? In the first time you try to paint the bamboo on your canvas, okay? In other words, if you want to experience samadhi, you try to push your mind, force your mind to get the samadhi. The more you try to do it, the more samadhi going away. But there is no other way, so we have to do it. But then, if you do thoroughly, then immediately samadhi is painted. Okay? Samadhi joins your painting activities. So it's very natural. All of a sudden, you feel smoothly getting into samadhi's world. You don't know when, how, okay? No, beyond the measure. Beyond the measure. But it's very, that's a little wall there, okay? Between you go and then the other side comes, the object comes to you and you go, but it's pretty difficult to break this partition between. But if you do it, someday it's all of a sudden come up. Or even though you don't experience, if you do it sincerely, anything more or less, you break this wall and communicate. That is a basic state of existence. So that's why you are Buddha already. So what you have to do is to sit down right in the middle of that Buddha's world. That is a skandhala. So very naturally, if you do it constantly, anyway, you can get the dress wet, you know, before your consciousness, when you continually walk in the mist. So that's Dogen Zenji mentions. But we don't believe it. We want to be, no, we want to get the something, proof, okay? How much is it true that I can get the dress wet, you know? What is the mist? What is the wet, you know? What is the cause? How much wet, you know? We obviously analyze, synthesize, understanding, and then you want to start to walk in the mist. This is pretty common, don't you think so? But it is fine. But if you take care of human life in that way, your lifetime, the span of your lifetime in this world is not long enough to, you know, to get into the Buddhist world, no. Because if you always thinking that way, endlessly you have to go. I don't know how long. So some days, sometimes you have to stop it. You know? Just sit down in the middle of Buddha's world. But this is a true aspect. True reality, everyone exists. In life and death, same things happen. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentioned this phrase means that things beyond the measure are actualized together in the painting. So they are willing to participate in your activities of painting naturally. Okay. And the tall bamboo is long, although it is moved by yin yang. So by who makes them active, okay? Something like that. So he says, although it is moved by yin yang, anyway, there is some energy there, yin or yang. So in other words, there is a something full control, control your activity or the bamboo's activities or plantain's likes. Okay? But he says, although it is moved by yin yang, the months and years of the tall bamboo move yin and yang. In other words, your life is moved by stars and moons, so-called the astrology. Okay? But I don't think so. It is not all. You create astrology. Don't you think so? But you believe I am created by astrology. That's why you really depend on astrology. Always asking astrology, what should I do today? Should I go west or should I go north? And the astrology says, no, today if you go north, it's dangerous. So you should go west. Then you go west. So there is no freedom. Do you understand? I Ching or astrology, etc. It's fun. But I don't think if you always depend on that, I think your life is always moved by yin yang. That's it. So pretty narrow understanding. But yin yang is moved by you. This is true. Otherwise, how can you create astrology by human beings? You are already astrology. Your body and mind is already astrology. Whole world. That's why you can create astrology. Okay? So that's why he says, although it is moved by yin yang, the months and years of tall bamboo move yin and yang. The months and years of yin and yang are beyond measure, completely beyond measure. You know, how the trees comes up to you and participate in your activity of painting, we don't know. But there is a something fact, you can experience it. So who make it in that way? We don't know. But we can experience. So that's why he says the moons and the years, so the months and years of yin yang are completely beyond the measure. Bamboo also beyond the measure. Although the great sages understand yin and yang, they cannot measure it. They cannot measure it. Of course, they cannot measure it. According to astrology, you cannot measure total functioning of the universe. No, you cannot. The astrology cannot measure total functioning of your life. No. Okay, completely beyond. And they cannot measure it. The yin and yang are all inclusive phenomena, all inclusive scale, and all inclusive way. So, yin yang or your life, all. It are beyond measure, which means all inclusive. Everything is inclusive. Okay. In other words, let's go. Yin and yang have nothing to do with the views held by those outside the way or those in the two vehicles. In other words, the usual sense. So in the usual sense, you don't understand it. You don't. You cannot measure it. Measure them, okay? Because yin and yang have nothing to do with your views, created by intellectual understanding or usual sense or physics point of view or biology or whatever it is. Yin yang belong to the tall bamboo. Belong to means that yin yang is universe. Astrology is exactly same as bamboo's life. Bamboo's life is astrology. So you cannot separate. If you separate, bamboo want to depend on astrology. astrology measures bamboo's life naturally. But actually, there is no separation, so there is nothing to depend on. So finally, bamboo appears. This is total valuable, you know, bamboo's life. So because it includes, all includes astrology, stars, or suns, and the moon. So it's valuable. So what you should do, total respect. Deal with that bamboo's life right now when you see, because you see the bamboo now. There is nothing to compare with the, in terms of astrologies. Astrology already there. So if you take care really bamboo's life, then you can learn astrology. So that's Dogen Zenji mentions here. They are passage. They are the passage of time of the tall bamboo. So passage is constantly the tranquil aspect of the mind and active aspect of the mind. Active aspect of the mind, it has the capability to cause bamboo's life to pass, the bamboo's life to freedom. So, bamboo's life is astrology, but simultaneously, no form of astrology is, because bamboo becomes very pure and clean and transparent by active aspect of the bamboo's life. So, that is, he says, they are passage of time of all bamboo. And the world of the tall bamboo. This is a time. Time means a time and space. Bamboo's life is time and space simultaneously. Time and space is bamboo, so called whole world. All Buddhas of the 10 directions are the family of the tall bamboo. That's why that kind of a total functioning as a whole, including the tranquil aspect and active aspect, is called Buddha. So what is a bamboo? Bamboo is Buddha. And then what is a bamboo? Next. So he says, no, that the entire heaven and earth are the roots and stem, branches, and leaves of the tall bamboo. This makes heaven and earth timeless. Okay? Timeless. In other words, space. Time becomes space, turn into the space that is called timeless time. Okay? Time moving. So, very naturally, and you, well, the everything passes, everything, you know, to freedom. It's moving. So you can stay even a moment. The next moment, you can get into the space, then you can produce a form. And then when the moment when you produce a form, immediately there is a time, so time causes things, pass the things to freedom. So vice versa, obviously. That is a total dynamic working. Okay? That is called whole work, the whole work, we say. So something more than activity, we say. Something more than tranquil. Okay? So that, the total activity, the total work is called Buddha, we say. This makes heaven and earth timeless. This makes the great oceans, Mount Meru, and the worlds of the 10 directions indestructible, a walking stick and arched bamboo staff are both old and not old, completely beyond old and new. And because bamboo tree is already Buddha, nothing but total dynamic whole works. Connected with all sentient beings. We don't know how, but it's there. Okay? We don't know how. That's why temporal we use, it is called Buddha. It's the plantain. A plantain has earth, water, fire, wind, emptiness, mind, consciousness, and wisdom as its roots, stems, branches, leaves, flowers, fruits, colors, and forms. Accordingly, plantain wears the autumn wind and is torn in the autumn wind. Okay? So plantain, if you want to paint the plantain in your mind, on the canvas of your mind, I think you should paint the plantain and the fragile life of the plantain and also wind, autumn wind, okay? Those kind of things, space and time, you have to paint it. Otherwise, plantain never be alive, never get opportunity to thrive, to be alive. So, that's why painters in painting always try to use a simple color, never red. Simple color creates lots of colors, including space and time, wind, air, breathing, and that's it. So very naturally you can hear the sound of the pine trees in the semi-painting, something. That is called mind, we say. One of the Zen master mentions about that. Well, anyway, so that means, accordingly, plantain wears autumn wind and is torn in the autumn wind. We know that that it is a pure and clear, and that not the single particle is excluded. So that plantain is very pure and clear. It's a form, it has a form, but it is not usual form. It is active, as well as other beings are active. So very naturally, it is very clear. Through that plantain, you can see whole many other beings in the world. So, exactly, that's why plantain is very pure and clear. Not a single particle is excluded. That's why you can see all things, everything. There is no muscle in the eye. There is no pigment in the paints. Finally, no pigments, you know. So who painted? I painted. At that time, I have to use a pigment of so-called karagiri. But when you are exactly in accord with the rhythm of the spiritual communion between you and the total walking so-called Buddha, at that time, what kind of painting words use? You know, all you have to do is the body or the pine trees and everything are just right in the middle of the big canvas of the mind. And then everything becomes one. So that is, he says, there is no muscle in the eyes. Okay? There is no pigment in the paints. This is emancipation right here. That's big project, big dynamic working occurs right here. As in emancipation is not the matter of time, it is not concerned with the discussion of a certain moment or instant. No. It's very interesting. It's moment, but it's not moment. Something. Okay? So you say life. What is life? Okay? Life is, yes, I know the life is such and such a such. But still there is something more than you believe. So finally you say, what is life? Life is something. Don't you think so? Life is something, because life, you cannot make arrangement of your life exactly according to your knowledge, exactly according to your will or volition, or according to others' volition or education, nothing. Okay? You can do it, but it's not totally. So finally, what is life? Life is something, because you are going that way. Who orders? Who ordered to go this way? I don't know. You don't know. Who makes me the monk? I don't know. I did, but strictly speaking, I don't know why I became a monk. But people want to know why, motive for becoming a monk. That's why I said so something mystical, mysterious. Because when I was, ate the incense. When I was a boy, I ate the incense. So I say something mystical, and then people really respect that more. My goodness, Karagis, you are Buddha already. That's ridiculous, you know? That's just a story. But it's fact. It's fact. Actually, practically, I ate it. Then my brother, you know, my fathers and brothers always mad at me because I left the fathers and my brother's daughter and brother's wife at that time, because I should take responsibility for taking care of them, you know, but I left them. So they are mad at me. Then later, one year later, then they really respect me, because they felt a reason why he became a monk, thinking of eating incense. Then they asked me, I understand why you want to become a monk, because you had eaten, you know, incense every day. The people ask me, why don't you eat now? For future, why don't you eat? But I can't eat now. So it's very interesting life. Life is something anyway. It's not mysterious, but you can't explain it. But that's something, life is something, is really wonderful. That makes your life shine anew. Okay? Your life turns out really anew and shine. We have to see this one. Okay? And he says, and as emancipation is not the matter of time, it is not concerned with the discussion of a certain moment or instant. Taking up this understanding, make earth and water, wind and fire your vital activity. Make mind, consciousness and wisdom your great death. In this manner, the activities of the house have been passed on with the spring, autumn, winter, and summer as furnishings. So taking up this understanding, make the earth, water, and wine, wind, and fire your vital activity. Anyway, you should take up this understanding called life is something. Something means pretty big. Well, we want to know. We want to put the name on it. That's why we say Buddha. Anyway. So you should take up this understanding and also make the earth. Make the earth and the wind, the water, the world, and your everyday life. Anyway, the vital. Make the vital activities. Anyway, make your life alive, like a living fish, whatever you feel. Encouraging your life constantly, okay? Because this is this is understanding, so-called Buddha. So take up this understanding, even though you don't believe it, or some corner of your consciousness doesn't believe it, but it is truth. If it is truth, anyway, take up this understanding and make your life alive. So in this manner, the activity of the house has been passed on with the spring, autumn, winter, and summer as furnishing. Everything it goes like that. Now, the fluctuations of the tall bamboo and the plantain are painting. Fluctuations of tall bamboo and plantain means movements of the bamboos, the movement of your consciousness, the movement of pine trees you can see. Okay? That is simultaneously painting picture. So painting is a movement of your consciousness, okay? And then the paint where? There is a paint on the canvas of your mind, which is calm. In Zazen, you really paint beautiful bamboos on the canvas of your samadhi mind. Those who experience great awakening upon hearing the sound of bamboo, whether they are snakes or dragons, are all paintings. Simultaneously, all are painting, because when you paint the bamboo at the pine trees now, on the canvas of your mind now, in the samadhi, immediately airs and skies, winters, Minneapolis, all are painted. All come. Otherwise, pine trees, the painted on the canvas, never alive. It's dead. So you have to produce masterpiece of painting. This is our responsibility as a human being. So anyway, produce a masterpiece. Masterpiece is not a big deal anyway. Not big deal. You have to make your life anyway alive with sincere heart. That regardless of whether you feel or you don't feel, it doesn't matter. You have to do it. Those who experience great awakening upon hearing and sound of the bamboo, whether they are snakes, dragons, are all paintings. Do not doubt it with the limited view that separates ordinary from secret. Secret means it's something. Life is something. Okay. Don't doubt. Please accept it. That bamboo pole is just long. So this pole is just short. This pole is just long. That pole is just short. And these are all paintings. The painted forms of long and short always accord with each other. So, when you see the short pole, so-called karagis, you are beginners. Yes, sir. That's enough. Short pole is short pole. Short pole blooms its own flowers. Where? Not in the realms of short pole, in a huge world. So, short pole is short pole. Pole is pole. And then around the pole, anywhere all other sentient beings joined activity of the pole, short pole, then you are naturally educated. So that the Dogen then mentions, if the egolessness, if you forget yourself, is to be confirmed by all sentient beings. Okay? To forget yourself means, anyway, to get the total communion between you and Buddhas. And then simultaneously, you are short. That's it. You wash it, fine. Then standard, paint it. Then all sentient beings come together and confirm your life. Anyway, naturally. So that is here says, this pole is just long, that pole is just short. As these are all paintings, the painted forms of long and short always accord with each other. Okay? When you paint something long, it cannot be without painting something short. So short is short. First grade is first grade, that's it. Karagi, you are Japanese. Yes, sir, I am Japanese. Don't fight with American anyway. American? You are American. Yes, sir, that's it. And then, still there is wonderful place we can walk hand in hand. Not something more than understanding differentiation, no. Understanding differentiation is still dualistic. Okay? And two differentiation, two different things should work. Walk means practice. Actually, you have to walk together. Not only understanding. In other words, you have to demonstrate two things for which are become one. Which become one. That is a practice. Actualization, we say. Demonstrations. Okay? Is that clear? But we always, yes, I understand Japanese culture. I understand Karagiri as a Japanese. And the Karagiri says, I understand you as American. But it's not. It's not good enough. Everyone understands. Everyone understands different culture, don't you? Because through the book, teacher and people tell you what's the difference. So we are always interested in the difference. Difference. But we don't want to walk together. That's a big problem. We have to walk anyway. Demonstrate, actually. Okay? That's why Dogen Zenji constantly to mention practice itself. Actualization. Demonstration. Demonstrating now. Day by day, from moment to moment, with sincere heart. Okay? So, now, the... thoroughly investigate the meaning of this, because the entire world and all phenomena are a painting. Human existence appears from a painting, and Buddha ancestors are actualized from a painting. So, paintings are very important for us. Okay? Painting picture, painting portrait of your life. Painting portrait of your life, simultaneously portrait of the trees, birds, and the rivers, creeks, many portraits there. Then we should understand them, what difference, how different they are. Next, we have to walk. Anyway, in peace, in harmony, practically. This is a Zazen. Anyway, okay. And next, since this is so, there is no remedy for satisfying hunger other than a painted rice cake. Okay. Without painted hunger, you never become a true person. There is no strength of the practice other than the painted satisfaction. In fact, satisfying hunger, satisfying no hunger, not satisfying hunger, and not satisfying no hunger cannot be attained or spoken of without painted hunger. So painted hunger means something very deep, deep voice, voiceless voice, scream, cry. Scream is not a good word, but some scream there. Sometimes it makes you pensive. Sometimes it makes you joyful. But always there is a voiceless voice. That is hunger. You want to know. You want to do. Always. Even though you say, I don't care. But the moment that you say, I don't care, you care. Something there. So you want to know. So that is painting hunger. From where painting hunger? It's exactly the same as Buddhist work. No one created painting hunger. It's already there. That's why Avalokiteshvara coming up from that human emotion, human feeling, naturally image of Avalokiteshvara created by human beings, Buddhist. And when you understand this meaning with your body and mind, you will thoroughly master the ability to turn things and be turned by things. If this is not done, the power of the study of the way is not yet realized. To enact this ability is to actualize the painting of enlightenment. Very quick, I finished. Do you have some questions?
One phrase there about make mind consciousness and wisdom your great death.
Where?
In section 8.
Huh?
In section 8.
Oh, section 8, page?
Page 138.
Mm-hmm.
The third paragraph from the bottom of that section. Make mind, consciousness, and wisdom your great death?
It starts with there is no muscle in the eye.
Okay. Taking up this understanding, make earth and water, wind and fire your vital activity.
Right.
Make mind, consciousness, and wisdom your great death. That's what?
Yeah.
That's what you want to know. Your great death means... Great death means, death must be vital. Okay? Death must be vital. So it means you have to completely die. Okay? Then, from death, life come up. So that is great death. Okay? So great death means great aliveness. The same meaning. But in order to make your life alive totally, you have to die. Die means you have to completely be, you have to get the accord completely with samadhi. And then that is called death, great death. And from that,